Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
The world's preeminent talk radio portal.
All about your health.
And now here's Melanie Cole, MS, host of Staying Well.
Well, we know that a healthy diet and exercise works for some individuals. However, for weight loss and severe weight loss, it does not work for everybody. It can be incredibly frustrating trying different diets and seeing different nutritionists. And while weight loss surgery is not an easy out, it can be, for some people, a tool to aid them in their weight loss endeavors. My guest is Dr. Robert Bell. He's a bariatric surgeon with Summit Medical Group. Welcome to the show, Dr. Bell. Let's start with a little bit of a breakdown on the types of weight loss surgeries that you do.
Well, Melanie, thank you very much for having me. And I'll talk briefly about weight loss surgery in general. And there are three predominant weight loss surgical procedures currently in the United States. They are laparoscopic gastric bypass, laparoscopic sleeve gastrectomy, and laparoscopic adjustable gastric banding. And the key is that all of these procedures are performed through very small incisions. All of them carry a very quick recovery from surgery. Hopefully the patients should be in and out of surgery and out of the hospital also.
Okay, so let's talk about the separate surgeries. When someone decides to go for a weight loss surgery option, which one is the sort of least severe, shall we say?
Well, that's a difficult question to answer that way. I can tell you that without a doubt, the surgery that has the best weight loss, not only at 1 year, but when it comes to many, many years of follow-up, the surgery that has the best weight loss is a gastric bypass. And the surgery that has the second best weight loss, a close second, is a sleeve gastrectomy. And the surgery that has the least successful weight loss, both at 1 year as well as long-term, would be gastric banding.
Now, which ones are reversible?
Well, any patient, or really all patients, should consider their weight loss surgery permanent. You know, it's a permanent lifestyle change. It's a permanent change in the way one eats. And really, any patient that is sort of contemplating surgery just to kind of see if it is something they might try, like a diet, Weight Watchers, take it or leave it, probably not a great candidate for surgery. So I would say that, yeah, although, you know, laparoscopic banding is reversible, I'd say that almost is one of the reasons why the weight loss is not so good with gastric banding. I mean, you don't want your surgery reversible.
Now, you know this about me because we've talked before, but my sister had lap band over bypass, whereas she did not learn really the true way and all those lifestyle changes after her bypass. And so then she had to go in for further lap band and now has really learned, you know, from it. And it was not an easy road. It is not an easy thing to do. It's hard on everybody in your family and on the person themselves. Speak about the surgeries just a little bit, Dr. Bell, and what people can expect and pretty much life after surgery.
Well, and just like you touched on, surgery absolutely is not the easy way out. Surgery works for really everybody that pays careful attention to details. Details such as calories that are put in one's body, details such as calories that are spent, i.e. exercise. So patients, you know, absolutely will be successful if they pay careful attention to their portions and total calorie intake over the course of the day. They'll absolutely be successful if they exercise regularly. Exercise after weight loss surgery is no different than any other American in the United States as far as what's recommended by surgeons as well as the American Heart Association, and that is anywhere from 30 to 90 minutes of strenuous activity every day. That's what every American should be doing, with or without weight loss surgery. One of the big differences, of course, is that, you know, if one does that after weight loss surgery, it's a virtual guarantee of success after surgery, whereas if one doesn't really exercise after weight loss surgery, it's, obviously much less of a guarantee. And as a matter of fact, it would even predict a poor outcome after weight loss surgery. So weight loss surgery is just one part of the armamentarium that the patient should think about. You know, surgery it really only helps with the calories in aspect of the calories in versus calories out equation. But after surgery, you have to pay careful attention to both calories in and calories out, in other words, exercise.
So with exercise and following that lifestyle change, can with weight loss surgery, Dr. Bell, can type 2 diabetes and or high blood pressure be reversed?
Yeah, absolutely. And the nice thing about weight loss surgery, it's not as if a patient has normal blood pressure, but they're taking 3 or 4 medications to control the blood pressure. Or let's say a diabetic patient might have a normal blood glucose, but they are taking 2 or 3 medications to control the glucose. If you were to ask that patient, do they have hypertension? The answer would be yes. If you were to ask that patient, do they have diabetes? The answer would be yes. Whereas after weight loss surgery, patients are normotensive. They have a normal blood pressure with no medications. Diabetes, they don't take any medications for diabetes, and they have a normal blood sugar. So what we're describing is, in essence, a cure, not so much really just a masking of symptoms or a treatment. It's really a cure of those disease processes. And the likelihood of a patient being cured of their diabetes or hypertension after surgery has a lot to do with how much weight is lost, how much weight is kept off, as well as really the severity of the disease before the intervention, i.e. before surgery.
Now that obesity is considered a disease, is this something insurance is now, are they covering it, or is there a cost to it? Is it very expensive?
You know, the vast majority of insurance carriers will cover weight loss surgery, and that really is going to vary from plan to plan, but the vast majority of carriers do cover it. I can't even imagine a reason why an insurance carrier wouldn't cover weight loss surgery as part of their overall plan.
Well, it'd save them much more money over morbid obesity of somebody who's then likely to suffer more ill effects and comorbidities.
Oh, yes, you've got that right, and that's absolutely true. In the private sector, the insurance companies, if you want to just lump them all together as a whole, will actually start to save money within 2 or 3 years of surgery. If you want to look at more of a public sector or a government sector, in other words, like the VA, you'll actually reap those benefits within a year. So why doesn't insurance necessarily push it and cover it? Well, because employers change insurance companies, and really it's not the patient that's the customer, it's the employer that's the customer, but the employers change insurance companies, and so I think some insurance companies have the attitude when they don't cover weight loss surgery, you know, I think their attitude is, yeah, sure, we'll pay for the surgery, and then they'll just switch to our competitor, and the competitor will save all of the money. But if everybody just looked at it as sort of a team, then there's no reason for any insurance company not to cover it, because, yeah, it's going to be cost-effective within 2 to 3 years.
In the last minute, Dr. Bell, kind of sum it up. Let people know what to expect if they are considering, because it is a tough road. There's counseling involved. It's not something you just decide, but it can be the solution to what's been a really tough problem for people. So in the last 30 seconds or so, wrap it up for us.
Well, patients definitely want to check with their insurance carrier to see whatever requirements are necessary. In other words, psychological counseling, dietary counseling, that's going to be necessary for everybody. But everybody's insurance plan is going to be a little bit different. Some insurance carriers require an additional 3 or 6 months of medically supervised dieting prior to surgery. And what I would stress patients that are considering surgery to do right now is just get your habits in order. Get into the habit of exercising. It doesn't matter how much or how long. And get into the habit of monitoring your portions. And again, portion size before surgery and after surgery, it's going to be quite different. But just getting into the habit of monitoring portions, get into the habit of exercising. You know, it's really those good habits, those good behaviors, they're going to predict long-term success.
Absolutely. It's the good habits and good behaviors, something to consider if you really are morbidly obese or having trouble losing at least 50 or more pounds. But this is great information, and you heard it right here on Radio MD. This is Melanie Cole. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter @YourRadioMD. Stay well.